Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
If you listened to last week and the week before, you know that we ran out of time and we said, no, there's so much more to this, to Jeannie Ouellette's story and to special needs ministry. And she has stories and she has help. When we do our show notes, we are going to post the website, how you can get in touch with Jeannie, how you can ask questions, because I'm sure that you as listeners have quite a few questions that you want to ask. And so that will be available in our show notes. But I'm joined also by Mary Perro, and we are just enjoying our time with Jeannie, and we're learning and we're being so edified. So I want to go straight back to you, Jeannie. So you were just kind of telling us about some of the training that is necessary just to even minister to these children, and some of the weighted blanket for some of the insecurities. I mean, their needs are different, and what comforts them is different. So it's different than, you know, my class that I teach, pulling out the flannel graph and, you know, doing duck, duck, goose when the pastor's going over time, and, you know, doing these things. And as I said in our first session together, I talked about how having a special needs child in my class was so disruptive. And going back to that story that we told in part one, is that the mother, her child had been misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. And it had been blamed on the mother, his issues. And so for her, I think when you said, no, this is definitely autism, and I'll tell you why, I think it came as a relief. I think I saw the mom, just this relief wash over her, like, this is beyond me, and now I can get the right help. And I think a right diagnosis allows you to get the right treatment, which is, like, amazing. So without me going on anymore, I want to get back to you.
So that absolutely, that was actually a point that I was going to make. A definitive diagnosis is so important. And I think that kind of is a scary part for a lot of people. They'll go to their pediatrician and the pediatrician will say, oh, they're fine. You know, it's not, you know, don't worry about it. But I do push for that. In our class, we do need a definitive diagnosis. You know, we just make sure the parent goes and seeks that. And the reason behind it is just what Cheryl said, because that just takes, like, a lot of the stress off you. You know what it is. Most of the time, they're going to say your child's on the spectrum. They're not going to know exactly, you know, where it's at, because we have high functioning, low functioning. In our room, so what we do is we develop things for all learning styles. Some of our kids will not come to the table and will not read the Bible. So we actually have a video that has, you know, where they can watch it visually. Some of our children, they, you know, it's more like they're a little more aggression. So what we'll do is we'll sit down with a little book and we'll just kind of, we'll do a one-on-one with them, or we'll do a Play-Doh with them. And we'll always try to maybe bring something to do with Jesus in that story. And then some of the children just need love. They just want you to, I mean, I love when they come up to me and they touch my face. That just like, just makes me feel like, oh, wow. I just, like, think that's the sweetest thing. And I mean, and maybe that's their only way of communicating. And then, you know, a lot of times they'll try to, I've seen kids that came into our room nonverbal, and then now they're speaking, and it's, like, so exciting to us. We're like, oh gosh, I tell the parents, look at this, like, they're talking, you know? And they're like, yeah, at school, they were kind of, you know, we're starting to see that from school. And, the hard part is they do go to public schools, most of them. So they're going to get things that, you know, maybe you don't want them to say. So what we teach manners. So let's say somebody pulls a toy away from another child and tries to hit him with it. We'll look them in the, we'll try to, you know, tell them, you know, that's not something we do. What do you say to your friend? You know, do we say, we want to say we're sorry, you know? And I think the thing that people need to know is these kids are teachable. I mean, I think that they kind of get dismissed a lot. And, you know, they're, I think just knowing that they are teachable, for me, like with my daughter, like I said, I mean, I was astounded about, she's smarter than I am on the computer. And she's like, you don't know what you're doing. but I think what's really nice about this is that we started them when they're really young. When we first started the ministry, we had four boys. We started them at about nine, and we walked them all the way through. And one of the greatest moments for me, I talk about this, is one of our boys, I felt like he was really aging out. He was about getting to be close to 16, you know. And I didn't want him to go backwards. And I just said to his mom, I said, I really think he should be doing something in the church, serving somewhere. She's like, I don't know. He's scared. I don't think we can do this. And I said, oh, I know he can do this. So they actually took him under their wing and had him be one of the ushers.
Oh.
And he just shined. I just saw such a happiness in him. And his mom said, I never thought possibly that would be possible. So that was a really moment for me. And that's, if I can say that to anybody, I really feel like we need to let you know, churches know that these children that are small, when they get to be like about 16 or 17, 13, they can serve in church. They have a place in church.
And the boy you're talking about would give me a hug every Sunday and give Brian a hug every Sunday. But every Sunday he would say to Brian, I really like Greg Laurie a lot better than you. And I like the way he talks. And Brian would be like, well, I like Greg Laurie too. You know?
And he was one that would, he was always at Greg Laurie's Harvest. He was a big fan of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Phil Wickham. Yeah. You get Phil Wickham here? Can you get? But, you know, just that innocence and that sweetness, you know, and we never said, well, your hair, you know, or, you know.
Yes.
That's insulting. It was like, you know, we've got one guy at our church, special needs, who always calls Brian John. He does not know. We have a pastor, John Chubeck. He does not know the difference between John and Brian. Brian will be like, I'm Brian, but, you know, John's a great guy too. And he's like, Brian, I didn't recognize you. And it's just, but you know, there is a lot of joy that they bring with that. But I love that. I didn't know the backstory with Sean.
They're so unfiltered.
Honestly, they are.
They actually make me laugh so much. I mean, and I'm not laughing at them, but I'm just laughing with them because some of the
things
delightful. They'll say, I mean, that's why I always tell people, if you get to know them, I mean, the adults with disability, they're out there and, you know, it's a little easier than the children, obviously, because in our room we have what we call runners. The minute you open the door, they're out the door and they're out to the parking lot. And the funny story. So I had a little boy in my room, and he's kind of a tough one, but we just love him. I just remember before I had my gate, the door got open. I had high heels on this day. I don't know why I had boots. And my other ladies had tennis shoes, and I say thank God for that. So we opened the door. And he, sure enough, he bolted. And where did he bolt? He bolted to the sanctuary where they were up there, and it was still, you know, it was like, everybody's like, okay, here he is. And I just looked and I saw her running up and down the aisles with him trying to catch him. She finally caught him, you know, but I thought, ooh, we need to have a better gate, you know, on that door. But there's just something about them, but all kids love attention. I mean, all kids do, but they want to tell their stories, but they don't know how to tell them sometimes because they don't know how to, you know, they use their hands. Or they'll drag you, or they'll point to something, and for me it's like the humor that comes out of that room is just, it's really sweet. I go home and I actually said to somebody, maybe I shouldn't be laughing. I don't want the parents to think I'm laughing at their children, you know what
right.
I mean? But I know I laugh at things that probably people shouldn't be laughing at. But
you know, years ago I was part of one of Joni Erickson Tada's events in Poland, and they were providing wheelchairs and accessibility devices to people there who didn't have them and had some mobility issues. And it's so funny interesting being part of an experience like that and seeing the work that she was doing and their team was doing. And I realized I hadn't seen anyone who had, you know, mobility challenges out on the streets. It had occurred to me to wonder why. And then when we saw this event and many people there didn't have the right kind of wheelchair or accessory to, you know, get around and to be more mobile, to be independent. They didn't have on the buildings the right ramps and ADA things that we have here. And so, you know, while we were off the air, you were telling us a little bit about how other churches are now calling you.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is one of the interesting parts of your story is you're giving room for other people to flourish, not just the children, but adults as well. With the story we just heard about the young man coming along and getting the opportunity to share his gift and to explore his gifts. And so now you were sharing earlier that there's been other churches calling you.
So that was something also that Lord was sort of leading me to do resources, because I mean, like we were saying, you know, families are just kind of like left hanging. They're like, I don't know what to do. I have calls from like all over. I have calls from even different parts of the world that will ask me questions. And just how do we get started? They will say, I have a really small church. I don't know what to do. And I walk them through. I try to walk them through that and just, you know, give them ideas. And
Create a safe place.
To create a safe place. And I said, you can do
and
that.
And not red.
Yeah, not a red room. Yeah, not
a safe place.
Please don't paint that room red. Yeah. So, another thing I wanted to kind of speak on. So, with my daughter, at one point, we sought conservatorship. And this is such an important key factor for families. This is another thing I talk about with them. So conservatorship, if people don't know what that is, it's mainly where you take over the responsibility of their finances and their medical. And as they get older, you're pretty much going to be their guardian. And conservatorship, the reason I say to seek it when they get to be like 18 is because this is a really quick story, but there was a young man that was like 24 and he went to the doctors with his mother and he was very ill. And the doctor was talking to him and she's like, but I'm the mom, you know, why aren't you saying it to me? And he's like, you have no rights. There's nothing there. You don't have conservatorship, guardianship or anything over him. And I thought, wow, that is so scary. So when we sought conservatorship, I was trying to seek a lawyer for this, and it was very difficult. I call lawyers, and they'd say, I don't know, you know, I'll see you at the trial. They didn't even want to meet with me. So to make a long story short, I actually met someone at Chalk, and she said, I have this lady, this girl that I think, you know, would be wonderful. So she calls, and the first words out of her mouth are, I've been praying for you. And
oh.
I thought, oh, Lord, you sent me.
Yep.
You sent me someone that I needed, and she's so wonderful. She's become a friend, and she's actually someone that I referred quite a few people to for this. Also, Social Security disability, getting, you know, SSI for people don't even know how to do that. And I had to go to the office and advocate again because you have to have a strong case. So these are things that people call me on. These are like just not, you know, like to, and then also I have a few children that just started school, going to kindergarten, and the parents are very worried. And they said, you know, what should we do? And I said, okay, well, you have homeschool options or you have, you know, public school options. So I try to walk them through that and give them all of the good and the bad. and then I, you know, obviously let them make a decision, but I always say, I'm here for you. I will help you if you need help with that. And I think just asking them every Sunday, oh, how are they doing in school? Like, you know, is there anything we could pray about? You know, I think that's where the comfort comes in. And for me, I wish that would have been part of my journey when my daughter was younger, that I would have had people say, hey, you know what? We're going to walk alongside of you. But it was okay because I see how God's plan totally has unfolded. I've always just made sure I read. I mean, whatever God gives me, I mean, I have a gift of discernment. So whatever he gives me, I just say, okay, you know, I'm going to do this.
And share it. And, you know, as you're speaking, it's reminding me, similar experience. And, you know, man, I wish I would have had that myself. But I have found, and I'm sure you have too, as you begin sharing this with other people, this encouragement, there's something about it that just almost washes back over you. It's like that I'm encouraging you and also, in a strange way, getting what I needed all those years ago. It's such a gift to be able to give someone else what you struggled with.
Oh, I people always come up to me and say, thank you so much for doing this. You know, just God bless you. And I say, you know what? Honestly, it's God doing it first and foremost, but I am so blessed to
yes.
do it. Like, I feel like that, to me, that's where the blessing comes from.
Absolutely.
What you just said.
But I also love, you know, where Jesus said, do unto others as you want them to do to you. And he didn't say, do unto others all, you know, all the good things that others have done to you. He was saying what you want and how you're looking back and saying, this is what I needed. And so this is what I want to extend. And that is, that's Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, that is just Jesus. And that's, you know, as we're studying at church, that's the Jesus way, you know? True. And I just, I love that part too. Now, you were going to give us a couple more stories, so.
Stories about the kids, the funny stories about the kids. Well, some of the stories are, some of the stories are not too funny. I mean, some, we had a couple boys that were kind of hard, and they've gone now. But that was probably one of the more difficult times for me. I would say I really wanted those boys to stay in that class, but they were quite aggressive, and they were actually pinching. And I, you know, had to speak to the parents about this, and I think I couldn't have them in the class, but I just wanted to keep the parents, you know, with me and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that they were part of this. But yeah, I mean, there's so many stories about, you know, I think the kids' stories are the funniest stories, because they tell us funny stories about themselves. I mean, in their own little way, you know? But as far as stories go, I think what's really helped me so much was, just staying in tune to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And, a lot of times I know God will tell me to, I've told Cheryl, this will tell me to do things. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to go to that. I don't want to go tell that parent that, you know? And then I just know that I need to be obedient to that. And, usually when I do say something to the parent, it's really, truly, they'll say, that is something I know that God gave you, because I needed to hear that. So there, you know, stories like that, you know, and it just, for me, it's like I said, I've walked with that as far as trying to be obedient to what God would say to me. People have asked me about gifts, and I said, I feel like one of the greatest gifts you could have, honestly, is the gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. We can have many, many gifts, but a gift of encouragement to me just speaks volumes of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And I know I always tell people, I always want my conversation to revolve back to Jesus. I just want that to always be part of it. But yeah, encouragement to me is just something that I always pray about. God, please just let me encourage somebody. You know, let me have that. Let me do that. You know, let humble me and let me encourage somebody.
Now, I know that two of your assistants, which we love, Linda and Marsha, and I know they listen to Women Worth Knowing, so hello, girls. But I know that every year they volunteer for 1 week for Johnny Erickson's ministry, that they actually do a summer camp for the parents of special needs children. The whole family goes. And
is this Hope Heals with Catherine Wolf? She also works with Joni Erickson's daughter, or is this specifically through Joni?
This is through, okay. They call it Johnny and Friends. And
Johnny, yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Linda's been doing this for, honestly, I don't even know how many years, lots of years. And we've actually started bringing our families into this. We've actually we kind of fund a family to go. And
That's lovely.
They've told us that this is probably, for them, just been some of the greatest moments, because again, they can see other families that are walking in the same walk. And, Linda and Marsha, they're amazing. I have Carrie in there too. These three have been with me forever.
Yes.
And they're just such remarkable women. They pray, they're always there. I mean, I don't ever have to worry about trying to find a volunteer. Yeah.
And, you know, working with, Johnny's ministry too, there's training, they train them how to work with these special needs children. And, you know, talking to Linda, she said it's absolutely exhausting and the greatest blessing ever. I mean, she won't miss it. And I see that it is. It's both exhausting and spiritually exhilarating, but the training too that the volunteers get. So we're going to give a shout out if you want to be a volunteer at Johnny and Friends, especially because they're always looking for those who would want to volunteer. And it's a whole week and it's nonstop for those volunteers, but the parents get a break.
Yes.
The parents get to, as well, we're talking,
yeah. What's wonderful about that, yes. So the parents get a break, and they have a little buddy that'll come alongside of them, and they'll pair them up with, you know, sort of whatever the child's needs are. But their spouses get to, I mean, a spouse, the siblings get to go also. And that's a great thing, too, because, like I
so
said,
good.
They miss out on so many things. Sometimes the siblings are just kind of, you know, pushed aside a little bit. But I've had parents say to me, wow, you cannot imagine the buddy that was, you know, paired up with my child. That meant so much to, and they taught, the child was talking about this buddy, and they've been wanting to go back to camp again. And yes, they always need volunteers for this camp. And it's just amazing, like, what they do. I just, sad to say, I haven't had the opportunity to go. Some people know when you have a ministry at church, you're kind of
strapped.
You're the lead person.
A little busy.
And you're the only person to do this, and so yeah.
And especially when they're gone, we need
right,
you.
Right, right, exactly. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. But it is an amazing camp, and that's another, you know, resource that we have. So if somebody wants to, you know, find out about that, and like I said, I'm always open to people, you know, contacting us with resources and to find out about, you know, different areas they can go to. I'm not going to tell them what doctor to go to. I've had people ask me about what medication to give their child. That's just something, you know, obviously it's unethical. We just don't do that. So that's why it's important to have that definitive diagnosis and go to your doctor.
But they can find out about your ministry, and they can find ways to contact you through Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa's website. The ministry is Limitless if they need more information or want to connect with you directly.
But, you know, I love, too, that, you know, you can say we put a weighted blanket on your child, and it really calmed them down. And there are these things that you know from experience, from training, that the parents don't know. You know, because this is the first time they're walking through it. And a lot of them, I think, are shell-shocked, you know, when they come. You know, I have a friend who had a special needs child, and there's that story that they tell, like, you thought you were going to Italy and you packed your bags for Italy and you landed in Amsterdam, right? And there's so much to see in Amsterdam, but you need to get over your disappointment meant that you're not in Italy, so you can begin to enjoy the tulips of Amsterdam.
That's such a great, yeah, I thought actually that story was actually given to me a few times in the beginning when I was walking, so I totally understand that story. But yes, it's, I think just, you know, like I said, being, you know, having the church be there and just letting them know they're part of the church, and, you know, they're welcome. And I have stories, some of the stories, most of them I have, that they'll go to a church and they'll just say, we're there for like the first time, and we just don't feel like there's any community here. We just don't feel welcome. And, you know, they'll just say, there's no class for them. And then they'll go into a regular class, and the first thing they'll say is, we can't have your child because your child is bad. And I don't, that word just kills me, you know. But it's educating people. I'm never upset with somebody that does something they don't understand. I know my daughter was, my older daughter was slapped once by a guy at a library, and she said, oh my gosh, that guy hit me. And then I started to realize he had special needs. And I said, I just don't think he knew how to control himself, you know. And
it's his way of saying, you're beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think he wanted your attention, you know. But I think it's just, it is truly just educating people. But it's more, for me, it's like, I want everyone to know Jesus. I mean, that's my first and foremost goal. But I mean, I also want them to know that we're there, that we're, you know, we're here for them, you know, that their voices, you know, we hear you, you know, we hear your voice. Something that no one heard me when I was doing homeschool. And I think that was a moment for me when I said, you know, God, if you want to use me, I never want this to happen to another person again. I want to be able to step out, and I don't know what I'm doing, but if you're there with me, I always say, if you go before me, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to let you go before me.
You know, I'm thinking about our listeners right now, and as we close, I want to just talk to those women out there who, maybe you have a friend who has a child and she's noticed some odd behavior, maybe you have, and you can be a friend and come alongside them. And I would have them listen to all three episodes so that they'll know they're not alone. So they'll really consider getting that definitive diagnosis so they know, so they can go forward. And then you can help them they probably really need you as an advocate to walk beside them to say, let's get in touch with Limitless Ministries. Let's seek out Jeannie. Let's find out what we're doing and what we're dealing with here. And I just want to thank you for listening. And again, I know for so many of you, this is going to really resound with you and with your heart and with what you're going through, or maybe with your friend. So again, I think you need to recommend this program. Listen, maybe with your friends. Say, let's listen to this together. And here, Jeannie, once again, thank you for being on.
It was a pleasure.
Women Worth Knowing.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.